Well, this morning we come to the fourth Sunday of our Advent season. Mike, we got the recording going this morning. Thank you, brother. If you recall, the term Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning arrival or coming. But really, it captures the meaning of something very important that is coming, something that is arriving. There are 4 weeks to the Advent season, and each week has a different theme. Thus far, we've discussed the Advent of hope, peace, and joy, and today's theme is love. This morning, we're going to talk about biblical love and how it is only made possible by Jesus. We'll be lighting the fourth candle to commemorate the theme. Many of us have a tainted picture of love. Our inner belief goes something like this. They don't love me, therefore I don't love them. We have been conditioned to think of love in the terms of fairness. Only if so-and-so is deserving, then I'll love them. If they accept me and they treat me well, I will love them. And if not, I will not love them. Here's how one cultural definition defines love. You'll look on the screen here. The first definition is a strong feeling of affection and concern toward another person as that arising from kinship or close friendship. And the second is a strong feeling of affection and concern for another person accompanied by physical attraction. Notice that the world's definition involves feelings. And if that is true, and it often is in our culture, when the feelings go, then the love stops. I've counseled people before. They said, well, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her anymore. Therefore, we're going to separate. That is because they have been ingrained and conditioned with the culture's definition of love. Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because this is how God views love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Well, Paul, will you explain to us what is this love that you're talking about? What is this love that is so powerful? Beginning in 4. I'm glad you asked. Because love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide in faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So in contrast to the world's definition of love that we read earlier, what is the glaring difference between the two? Do you see it easily? It is biblical love is not based on feelings. It is based on choice. Just like hope, just like peace, and just like joy that we talked about last week. Now if I can be real for just a moment, we must acknowledge that there are times when our hope takes a hit and we get disappointed. Our peace is interrupted and we don't feel very peaceable at times. Is that the truth? Our joy is stolen through some event or by someone, and our love becomes hard to do. All of these things happen to all of us all the time. But we're not bad people because they do. We're not losers because we can't walk on water. And by the way, if anybody in here ever does walk on water, give me a call. I'd like to get it on film. You see, none of us are perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's for sure. But by the strength of Jesus Christ, the help of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of the Father, we do not have to remain in our imperfections or in our fallen state when we stumble. That is, if we choose not to remain there. To remain without hope, peace, and joy, and love is not the place where God has called us or desires that we stay. You see, God wants more for us and has provided a way to rise above our spiritual shortcomings through Jesus. Can I get an amen somewhere? Thus, Jesus needs to be our go-to whenever we come up short in any of these areas, especially love. You see, when our joy is low, we must spend more time with Jesus. When hope seems lost, we must spend more time with Jesus. When we don't have peace, what is the answer? Spend more time with Jesus. And when our love for others, and sometimes even God, does not come easy, spend more time with Jesus. If we want more hope, joy, and peace, and love, Jesus is the key. In His presence is the fullness of the Godhead. Now, everyone in here intuitively knows that Jesus is the answer, right? The kid in school. I don't know what the question is, but the answer is Jesus. I don't understand the question, but the answer is Jesus. But I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, what I'm about to share with you. In the presence of Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. In other words, all those things like hope, joy, peace, and love are found in Him. In Colossians 1:19, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," talking about Jesus, "that all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross." So as there is pure love within the Godhead, do you think the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all love each other? Of course they do. It's a perfect love. And that very love, and the capability to love like they do in the Godhead, resides in Jesus Christ. And if we have accepted Jesus Christ in our heart, that ability to love like the Trinity loves is within us. We should never say, "I just can't love that person." That's not true. "I just can't have joy." That's not true. "I don't have any hope." That's not true. "I don't have any peace." It may be for the moment, but you don't have to stand there. You don't have to stay there. Why? Because the fullness of the Godhead is in Jesus Christ. And if Jesus resides in us, then we have the capability to love, to have peace, to have hope, to have joy, as long as we have Jesus. So to sum up what I've said so far, are you guys tracking with me? Have I lost anybody? God's love is different from the world's love. The world's love is based on feelings. Christian biblical love, godly love, is based on choice. Can we actually love others as God tells us to do? Yes, because Jesus came and lives inside each of us. But wait, that's only half of what I want to share with you concerning love this morning. I want to talk for a few minutes about a special recipient of God's love that doesn't get a lot of mention in Sunday messages. How many people have trouble receiving God's love for themselves? Many people have a problem in this area, and it causes a lot of anxiety and even shame. They can demonstrate God's love to others. Oh, I can go love that person, as the Bible tells me to. But they themselves are unable to receive it. Why is this? Maybe that's somebody sitting in here this morning. I want to bring you some truth, because the truth will set you free. That's what the Bible says. I believe that we have trouble receiving God's love because we have the world's mindset that love is based on performance. Having this mindset when it comes to God is debilitating. It literally steals our hope and our peace and joy, and even prevents us from loving Him as He wants us to love Him. And that is with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Here's what I mean. When we cannot accept the pure and unconditional love of God, our whole response to Him becomes based on performance. We're always trying to be good enough. We're trying to earn God's love through works of righteousness. And when we fail to live up to what we believe will make God accept us, we beat ourselves up, or worse, we just stop trying. Many people have left the church. They say, I just can't be good enough. God's angry at me. God doesn't love me. How can He love me? Look, I'm such a mess. I can't please Him anymore. It's just wearing me out. It's bringing me down. Have you ever known someone that can't be pleased? We all have. After a while, you just stop trying, don't you? But thankfully, God is pleasable. I want you to know that this morning. Did you know that He delights in us? Psalm 118, verse 19, the psalmist writes, He brought me out of a broad place. He rescued me. And here's why. Because He delighted in me. You see, the Father is a God who forgives us when we fail, when we fall, when we repent. He knows our failures and our propensity to stumble. He is aware of the attacks of the enemy and our susceptibility to his scheming and his deception. He's aware when we lose confidence, and even when we doubt. Do you know the Lord is aware of our doubts? It doesn't shock Him. But I tell you this morning, He doesn't love us any less. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at a very famous story in the Bible. A true story, might add. And we'll be down in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Later that night, He was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. In Mark's account of this story, it says that Jesus actually saw them He was aware of their troubles. Sometimes we think, like, God, do you even know the storm I'm in right now? Believe me, he knows. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked in the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? On that day when Jesus called Peter to walk to him on the water, do you think he knew that Peter would begin sinking pretty soon? Of course. Did he get angry with Peter and use Peter's head as a stepladder to get into the boat? Just, well, I'll just step on your head and climb on in the boat. I don't think so. I don't think so. What did he do? He bent down and he lifted Peter up. Many times we will read this passage with our own tones of condemnation. Perhaps you did it even now. Hearing Jesus' rebuke as if he was condescending toward Peter. Why did you doubt? You have little faith. But listen now to what I believe is Jesus' tone in this paraphrase. Oh, Peter, you almost got to me. You were doing so well. That was incredible. During that moment when you got frightened because of the waves and the wind, if you could have just kept your eyes on me, dude, you would have made it all the way. Your faith is small now, but don't worry, it's going to grow. I believe that Jesus' heart towards Peter was much like that. Full of love and compassion and sympathy, all wrapped up in a few spoken words like this. Oh, man, ye of little faith. Why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt? I think that was Jesus' heart. And that's Jesus' heart towards us. Not one of condemnation. Not one of shaking the finger at us. But one of acceptance. So often as we read our Bible, we hear God's tone in our head as if he's mad at us or angry with us. But the problem is that we are projecting our tone as his tone through our own unlove. Sure, God wants more for us. Sure, blessings come when we are obedient. But do you know that sometimes blessings also come even when we're not? What? Yeah, man. Why do you think that? Because God loves us and he gives his kids gifts. I give Zach gifts. Not always pleased with him, you know, with stuff he does. But I love him and I'm not going to stop giving him blessings and gifts. How much more God the Father? Is he going to give us a scorpion and a sandwich? A scorpion when we ask for a sandwich? By the way, that's in the Bible. I'm not just making that up. He's a good father. And the amount of love that he gives us is not based on our performance. And he doesn't put coal in our stockings when we're bad. That's somebody else. Tragically, in addition to being able to accept his love, is that our performance-based mindset can affect the way that we love him. It's very hard to love someone when we're always thinking that if we fail them or don't live up to their expectations, that they'll be angry or disappointed with us. It's hard to love those kind of people. If that's what we think of the Father, then we will always view our relationship with Him as not measuring up. I just can't measure up. I'm going to stop trying. We'll tend to think that He is mostly disappointed with us. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? It was hard for me to write a lot of this message. I find myself in the lines, in the verses I have in the past. You see, many people have that kind of relationship with their parents and spouses and children, and it's messed up. And then they project those kind of interactions and feelings onto God. I'm not saying I had that with my parents or my family. I didn't, actually. I had very loving parents. But as I got older and I had my season of wanderings, I often wondered, will God love me? If He knows what I'm doing, He knows what's in my mind and my thoughts and my future. And it was hard for me to respond to His love because I was feeling like God was always angry at me. He's disappointed in me. Kind of carrying around that shame that was never mine to carry. Jesus carried it all on the cross. But I wanted to pull it back down. I go, no, I'm not worthy of God's love. But that is a lie. That's what Satan tells us. Satan is a liar. And he has come to condemn us. God's love is not measured proportionally to our failings. And if we can grasp the mindset that He loves us even with all of our failings, it becomes easier to love Him properly. And that is with all of our heart. It becomes easier to obey Him because we want to obey Him in order to please Him because we love Him. Instead of, I have to obey God. Look what He says right here. I got to do this. Man, I'll tell you, when we realize that God loves us and we accept that, we want to return that affection to Him. So I'll say again that it's the devil that wants us to live under continued condemnation. He wants us to think that God is disappointed in us, in you, in me. And when we buy into that lie, the devil comes with his cloak of shame. And that belief hinders our prayers and our faith. Faith is being assured that what we are praying for is what we'll see happen. And when we doubt if God loves us, we also doubt if He will answer our prayers. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. I don't deserve my prayers answered. I would sometimes think. And that becomes fixed in our subconscious and it hinders the faith in our prayers. Remember in James 1:6, James writes, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by a wind." And it goes on to say, if you got that doubt, don't expect you're going to receive anything from God. And I'm telling you right now that the way that we love God and the reasons that we love God affects our prayers because it affects faith. We just don't believe that God is good. We don't believe that He wants to answer our prayers. And if our faith is hindered, our prayers become hindered. So when the devil comes around us condemning, I'm telling you, just hold on to these promises that I'm about to share with you and repeat out loud verses like these. If you're taking notes this morning, jot down Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? Are you ever not in Christ Jesus? No. "Therefore there is no condemnation." In John 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received Him," that's us, "to them He gave the right to become children of God," that's us, "to those who believe in His name," that's us, we're children of God. And then 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. "Now He who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us." Are we sealed? We are sealed, it says right here, "and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Man, we're sealed. We are righteous. So if I could sum up these verses, and there are a lot more. Believe me, I cut down this list. I had like 20 verses. everywhere our promises of who we are in Christ Jesus. To sum up these verses, since we are in Christ Jesus, when God looks at us, He doesn't see our fallings. He doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see how messed up we are. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. He looks at us and we're behind Jesus. We're like, oh no, God is going to see me. No, God looks and He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. As we close here today. So this Christmas and after, I want to encourage you to choose to love. Choose to love. But also choose to accept God's love for you. Sometimes it is difficult to accept His love. It's humbling. And our pride says, no, I don't deserve it. But in humility, we must accept it even though we don't deserve it. Let me ask you this morning, do we want to be in agreement with God? Let me ask you then, does God love you? Let me ask you this, does God accept you? Yes. So if God loves us, even when we fail to measure up in our own work, in our own minds, shouldn't we also accept His love? So to agree with Him is to accept His love and see ourselves as God sees us. Forgiven, accepted, loved, adopted, cherished. However, we can only do this successfully when we are in Christ Jesus. And I'll close with this. In John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus speaks, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Just as the branch cannot produce fruit." And by the way, if you look in Colossians, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. "Just as the branch cannot produce fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." If we need to be in Jesus to love others and God fully, then we also need to be in Jesus to accept God's love for ourselves. When you can begin to fully comprehend that God is for you and not against you, I'm telling you, it can change everything about your walk in the Lord. I hope you can make it Christmas Eve service, because I'm going to show you how to abide in Jesus' presence. We're going to tie all this in together. Amen. Can everyone please bow their heads this morning? I needed to be reminded of this message this week. I can be so hard on myself. When I don't walk on water and I begin to sink, I get mad at myself for not being God. When I fail to love as I should love, when I fail to have peace, when I should have peace, when I find myself in disappointment because my hope and expectations have not been met, I tend to be so hard on myself. And I was reminded this week that I am accepted, that I am not rejected. And you know what? I don't think I'm the only person that feels that way. With no one looking around, we're going to do a prayer of healing. And I'm going to lead you through a little prayer. I think if you believe it and you begin to walk it out, everything about your life is going to change. And your perception of Jesus and the Father. So if you're here today and this message has resonated with you, that you feel like God is disappointed in you, or that He's rejected you, I'm just going to ask that you would raise your hand and nobody looking around. I see the hand. see that hand. See the hand. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you're not alone. Would everyone pray this prayer with me, including especially those that raise their hand? Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for not agreeing with you. Your word says that I'm accepted and not rejected. Your word says that you love me no matter what I do. That love does not change. I confess now that I believe your word. I know that you love me. And I receive your unconditional love right now. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart. And I ask that the fullness of the Godhead would begin to manifest itself in my heart. Help me to love. Help me to choose joy. Help me to choose peace. Help me to walk in hope. For you are good, and your mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.